Yes, sir. Can you state your name?
Erickson, because I do.
Okay, sir. My name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be the panel chairman for your hearing. If you just give me a moment, I need to get my roster in order, and then we'll start this hearing formally. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, sir, again, can you state your full name and your ADC number for the record?
Erickson, Bigos Shaitua, 219279.
Did you say Bigos Shaitua?
Yes.
I just want to make sure that I pronounce it correctly. Before we get started, it looks like that you have some representatives here in the room.
His mom went to the restroom. She's going to talk, so...
Okay. Mr. Begoshaitua, if you'll just give me a moment. I guess your mom's outside of the room, so I'm going to wait for her to come back in.
Okay.
Out of respect.
Thank you.
Okay, if I may ask, how many people will be testifying on behalf of Mr. Vigashaitua? Three people?
Yeah.
Okay, when it comes time, I'll ask you to state your name when it comes time to swear you in, okay? Okay, I'm going to begin with the hearing. Okay, again, Mr. Vigashaitua, good afternoon. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on September 15th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you in the room, are you representing yourself today?
Yes.
I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. If you can see on the teleconference screen, to my extreme far left on the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. After him is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. At the center of the bench is the Honorable, our board chairman, the esteemed Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. To my immediate right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Osborne. He'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Mr. Begoshaitua, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be determined if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, Mr. Begoshaitua?
Yes.
I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal ways or company as follows. Violation of condition number 12 is demonstrated by your failure to follow directions by your assigned parole officer by having contact with a child under the age of 18 without authorization from your assigned parole office. On or about August 27, 2017, Mr. Begoshaitua, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Begoshaitua's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, Mr. Begoshaitua, we're going to move on with the second phase of the hearing. During this this phase, we will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. So just remain on the phone, sir. We will come back to you momentarily. Mr. Osborne, if you will.
Yes, sir. Mr. Vigo Shaitua was released from DOC custody on June 12th of 2017. He was arrested on August 28th, 2017 at the Mesa Regional Parole Office on a tech violation and returned back to custody that same day with zero absconders with a community supervision end date of March 22nd of 2019. Current conviction, 2007, manslaughter, 12 years, 6 months. He's had one term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 2 or 3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 0. There is no SGG or gang information noted. He has a minimal disciplinary history. He has a community risk score of G1, B1.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. If I may, this is one of those moments where I think clarification helps. It looks like that he was had a restriction not to have contact with anyone under the age of 18 without a parent or guardian present or prior authorization of an assigned parole officer. The instant offense is manslaughter, so is there some nexus?
Yes, sir. If I could read some chrono note entries from August 24th.
Thank you very much.
July 2017. Reviewing sentencing docs with parole supervisor Percival, and he is not DAC, but his manslaughter conviction was for shaking a baby.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much for that clarification. I appreciate that. Okay, back to you, Mr. Begosaitua. It looks like that when you were released from DOC on community correction status, you were approved to reside at Changes at 1344 South Mesa Drive, Mesa, Arizona. Then you moved to another house with Changes at 1029 East Broadway in Mesa. And this was your residence at the time of your arrest. You reported employment at Western Rents in Gilbert. Did you maintain that job while you were outside of DOC, sir?
Yes.
What exactly were you doing there, sir?
We make beds and cribs for AC units and heating.
Thank you. It's always, again, I like to say it's always positive to see people pursuing work, especially after being in the inside the prison system for what looks like about 11 years. You referred to the task for random urine analysis with the color code maroon. You're responsible for submitting first samples. Looks like that they were all negative. Once again, we commend you for that. Referred to community health services to attempt to participate and complete the MRT cognitive behavioral treatment program. You failed to report for CHC, so you hadn't been assigned the classes. What happened with that, sir?
There was a misunderstanding there. When they gave me a date to show up, they told me that it was, they didn't tell me it was going to be an assessment. So I went there and I was waiting around. I went into the CHC and they told me just to wait around in the lobby. And the instructor or the of the class came in and she asked who I was, and I told her who I was, and she told me I wasn't in the class. So I gave her the slip that they gave me there. And she said it was supposed to be an assessment, which they failed to tell me. All they told me was just to stop by then. So we rescheduled it for Friday for a walk-in. I went there and they said they didn't do walk-ins anymore. So we scheduled to the following Monday, and they did the assessment. And I've been taking some anger management classes. If my wife's there right now, she got the papers of when I started classes. The last class I took was like on the 23rd, I think. I was taking classes every Thursday night at 5 5:30. So I've been enrolled to anger management classes.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Begosaitova, and let me start by commending you with, you know, number one, you were working. It looks like that you had negative urinalysis, which is a really good sign. You're not here because you absconded from your community supervision. I think this is pretty specific about having contact with a child under the age of 18 without authorization from your assigned parole officer. So what happened? What happened there?
Well, when I first got out, the first conditions I signed, there was no special conditions, so I thought everything was okay with the first parole officer that I had. So the main thing was that was the parole officer, Eric Librian. He was my first parole officer, and I signed the conditions, and so there was nothing, no special conditions or anything, so thought everything was okay. He asked me what would keep me out of prison, what would motivate me more to stay out there and do better, make my life better, because he's seen how much time I did. And I told him family was the biggest support that I've had being in here, and they were gonna be one of my biggest supports out there. So he told me, like, just make sure you maintain a job, do my classes and things like that. And I got, about 2 months later, two and a half months later, I got a phone call saying that they were transferring me from community supervision to minimum supervision, which changed my parole officers. So after that, they came up with these special conditions. And besides that, and what was hard too was I just lost one of my god sisters that 2 days before or a day before, and I just wanted to be with family. My wife, my daughter was the only family that I had down in Phoenix.
Okay, so I know we have some notes here, but what exactly led to your community corrections officer finding you with someone under the age of 18? What happened?
Well, when I signed the conditions also, that she said it was all right that day I signed it, and just for my wife to call and let her know it was all right. The next day, she called me back, telling me that I had to go down to the parole officers because she needed to tell me some things. So my wife took me down there, and they put a GPS monitor on me. So that weekend, me and my wife and dad went to got a hotel room, and the GPS monitor went off with a low battery. I tried charging and nothing went through, so I called my parole officer. And I guess when I called, it went straight to voicemail. I left her a message and hung up, but they said that it didn't hang up, and they said that we can hear the me calling out to my wife. They said they can hear the battery, the GPS monitor, saying that they had a low battery. And they said that my daughter, they can hear hear a baby in the background crying.
Okay, Mr. Begosaitova, I think this is an important question. We don't discuss these cases before we come into the boardroom. We're all independent board members. We vote independently. We don't, we don't come in preconceived. Should this board return you to community supervision, how are you going to deal with that issue? I mean, if I'm getting this correctly, you're under community supervision. You're still married, correct?
Yes.
And you have a small child in your life?
Yes, my daughter.
What is your plan to deal with that? Because I can't imagine that the conditions will change should you be released.
I mean, I know it's going to be hard not being able to see her. The conditions, we know the conditions are still going to be the same. But whatever I have to do, I have to do it. I've been, always, like you said, 11 years in here. And it's hard. It's been a rough road for me going through this whole thing away from family like that.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
So I didn't quite understand, and I think my colleague asked the question, but I didn't quite understand your answer to this allegation number two. Where were you at around the child under the age of 18 without authorization?
We at the motel.
We, when you say we, who are you referring to, sir?
Me and my wife.
Okay. So is you and your wife at the hotel?
Yeah.
With your child, any other child?
What's that?
Was there any other child there?
No, it's just me and my wife, one time.
Okay. So had you gotten previous permission from your PO to be with your wife and your child?
She, when we first signed the conditions, she said it would be all right if my wife was all right with it. And come the next day, I don't know what happened, she changed her mind.
So did you have a copy of that condition where it was on there? It was okay?
No, she didn't. She said as long as she called her. And my wife was supposed to call her. Which I think she did.
Okay, I see there's special conditions that are very clear. Okay, sir, thank you.
Mr. Begosaitua, I think, one second, Mr. Osborne. It's protocol, but before, especially before we ask your family members to come forward, we swear people in, and I think I may have missed that step for you as well. So I'm going to take a step here right now and go ahead and swear you and your supporters in. I don't want to get confused, but did anyone else want to speak with Mr. Begosaitua?
I do.
Okay, let me. Yeah, I want to swear everyone in first. I think I got a little off when I was checking in with your family, but it's fine. We're just going to swear everybody in. So, Mr. Begosaitua, Mr. Osborne. Again, there's three family members who are going to speak. Can you state your names? Okay, do you all solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes.
Yes?
I do, sir.
Okay. We'll just continue with the hearing. I just want to make sure I didn't miss that step. Yes, doctor.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Sir, why were you actually resigning? I know you were at the hotel when this, when you got the write-up, but why were you resigning? Where were your place of residence, sir?
In halfway house in Mesa. Changes.
Okay, so you was at Changes. And
yes.
So what was this? This was just kind of like a weekend vacation or something that you and your wife
yes.
decided to spend some
yes.
time together?
Yes, it was just like a weekend getaway. Weekend pass.
Now, you remember that this is not a court of law, therefore you can't get in any trouble by, legal trouble by asking the question, but had you had any contact with your daughter before this incident, sir?
Just when she come to pick me up, when we, like I said before, this all this happened within a weekend, and these conditions weren't presented to me when I first got out. So therefore, I didn't know that these conditions would come up.
So you're telling the board, sir, and remember now you're on the oath, so now you're telling the board that you were not aware of these conditions, that you should not have any contact with any child underage child. So you were not aware of that at all until that weekend, sir.
Yes.
So when you were released, that was not called to your attention. So when you were released from custody from prison.
No, I only signed one of the release conditions when I first got out, but it's just that the conditions of supervision release. That was the only paper that I signed with. There was my parole officer wasn't there when I first got out, so I signed it with another parole officer because the parole officer was in vacation. And a week later, I went to go see my original parole officer, which was Eric Librian, and we just signed the same conditions, and there was no other conditions or anything like that I signed with Sandra Bullock.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. I may have another question, but I think maybe Mr. Osborne might clear some of this up. When you permit him to make
yes,
Mr. Osborne. Yes, sir. On August 24th of 2017, which the conditions are stated and documented in the packet, he received conditions from Ms. Bullock before the weekend stating that he will have no contact with his one-year-old daughter, that he needs to be placed on GPS monitoring, and exclusion zones were set around the wife's home. So an offender claims he was married while in prison and conceived also while in prison. And then on the 28th, after they heard the recording and heard the baby and the wife in the room, he was confronted in the office by Phil Bullock, and he stated that it was not his wife, that they were friends. After she let him know there was a recording, that's when he stated that his wife and child were there, so he was very aware, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Austin.
Just one quick question.
Yes, sir.
I'm moving around, skipping around, but this problem with your GPS when you was at that hotel, did you ever get it resolved? Or you went that whole weekend without getting that, you know, it went off or something, that the battery was not charged? So what happened to the GPS?
I had it on the charger all night, and the person that installed it said that to keep it on for 3 hours and it should charge. So I took it off, and not even like a minute or so later, it went back off saying the battery was dead. So I went back to the halfway house and waited for, I called the person that put the GPS monitor on and Sandra Bullock, and they gave me a call back saying that they couldn't do nothing till Monday. So I went there, went back in Monday, and that's when they put me back in DOC.
Just one quick question. Had your parole officer approved for you and your wife to spend the weekend together, sir?
What's that?
Had your parole officer approved for you and your wife to spend that time together at the hotel?
Yes, she said it was all right if I take the weekend passes to spend with my wife.
But not with your daughter.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Mr.
Yes, Ms. Rothman. Thank you, Dr.
Also, I was just going to suggest that we could maybe call P.O. Diana Bullock and get her testimony if it's needed, sir.
Okay. I'll hold off on that.
Okay. Thank you.
I think what we're going to do right now is invite your representatives to speak to the board. I will say, and again, I don't want you speaking until you approach the podium, but we do have a lot of hearings today, so I want you to say what you have to say. I don't want to cut you off, but I'm going to ask you to kind of move through it because we just have a lot of hearings today. So if you will approach the podium. State your name for the record. And what would you like to share with the board, ma'am?
Well, I have letters from his employer stating if he does get released, he's welcome back to the job at the same pay rate. It also states that he has been making an improvement, has been, you know, talking with them, I've married him for almost 4 years and known him since I was 12 years old. I've been going to visit him every weekend since 2013. He also got letters from the halfway house changes that he's also allowed back to the halfway house. We had no issues there with them. I have papers of his classes that he was assigned to classes. Has schedules and when it ends. So these are for you guys to have.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I'll put it into record. Thank you very much.
I know that it's not going to change what he's in for, what he went in for. But I mean, just to be able to hear his voice or anything, my daughter to hear his voice, my daughter got so, you know, visiting her dad, she got so used to her dad being around. And with this past month that we haven't seen or heard from him, it's been so hard on my daughter. I grew up without a father. I don't want my daughter to grow up without a father also. Like I said, I can't change anything, but he's a great guy. While we wanted, with the conditions, he stated that we were not given permission to be with my daughter. We were given permission to have a weekend pass. Not with my daughter, but because of the circumstances, we just wanted him to see his daughter one last time until we were able to get permission for him to be in the same room with his daughter, because we didn't know how long it was going to be. That's what he violated. He wasn't violated for any alcohol, any substance abuse, no task, anything. It was just the simple fact of him wanting to be a father to his daughter.
Thank you, ma'am. Hold on. I'll ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate it. Before someone else comes up, quick question, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir.
From my own learning curve. Under these circumstances, will community supervision stay the same, meaning that no contact with anyone under 18 for the entire time of the community?
Yes, sir. Will remain the same.
I just want to make sure that that's understood. Okay. Who else would like to? Thank you, ma'am. If you could state your name.
I'm really not trying to. Let's see if I do something. Okay.
Okay. It's
important that your testimony be to the board. Thank you, ma'am. What would you like to share with the board?
I just wanted to say that I was so happy when my son came home. I'm not in a good health to go where he's staying at for long distance. And it made it shorter for me to come to Phoenix to see him when he was out. And he's a real good person. He's not the type of person that would hurt anybody. He's got a job, he's going to school, he's going by his probation officer's rules, he's trying to keep up with what they have to have him do. But this, I didn't know when that happened until my daughter-in-law called me and told me that they had to get him back. And I was so angry, I didn't know what I was mad at, but I was mad, but I still, it was a big challenge for him to come home. I told him, you're going to have a lot of challenges. People are going to watch you. People are going to say stuff that you don't want to hear. I don't know how long it's going to be, but he went back, and that's what hurt him. I just want him to come home and finish all this time that he has to do. And I know he can do it. He's a strong man. He's a strong man. He can do what they ask of him to do. And when he's done with his time, I want him to come home and see all his family, because his family can all come down to see him. We were planning on coming down to have a dinner or something with him, but they took him back, so I guess we'll have to wait on him to see what happens. I want my son back home. I know he's going to do better than what he did. I'm glad he didn't get caught for alcohol, drugs, something worse than what it is now. Well, I do want him to come back home, and if he does, I know he's going to go by what they're going to bring up for him to his supervision and all that.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any further questions for you. Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate you testifying.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir? If you can state your name.
Andrew Sintalanto.
And what would you like to show the board, sir?
Just to tell you guys that he's a good son.
Hello. And I would pray that he would go home. Just like one of my wife said, that we were all good. But you guys make a good decision for him. I know he needs another second chance, like everybody does, you know. Yeah. I want to tell you that the board make a good decision for him. Hope he gets out of it. I know, like he said, you know what the conditions are, you know. Yeah, go by it. I know. I know him. I know my son better than anybody else. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from my fellow board members? Thank you, sir. Thank you for your testimony. I think that's it as far as people testifying on your behalf, Mr. Begosaitua. The board's about, we're getting close to the end of this hearing, so is there a final statement you'd like to make to the board? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else you'd like to share before we go into discussion?
Yes, just ask you guys, please. To reinstate me, like I said, I'll do everything I can. I mean, everything, my conditions, I know it's going to be hard. Not only on myself, my family, and my daughter, which is going to take it worse. But if you guys give me this chance to get out, I'll show you guys that I can do it. It's like my family said, and I didn't know I can do it. That's a big, that's a support system I have. I had a job when I was out there. And my wife has the letters to prove that I can go back to the halfway house where I can reside at. A job that I can get back. I've been here 11 years and have minimal disciplinary ever since I've been in. It's made me a better person than I was before I came in. And I want to start my life. I was barely getting used to being out in society again. And I just ask you, board members, just look at, I mean, make your decision on the good part and not by what I came in for. I'm a better person. It's hard for what I came in for people to look at me and judge me just from a case. And I just ask you guys, if you guys let me out, I'll do whatever I have to abide by all the conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion now, Mr. Begosaitua. It may sound like we're speaking with you, especially because you can see us, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our decision? So if you'll just remain on the phone. If you could remain quiet, we'll get back to you shortly, okay, sir? Okay, board is now in discussion. For the board members, this is a bit of a challenging case, and I'll say that a couple of the issues that I'm uncomfortable with, and that is that it sounded like he was avoiding the truth with his parole officer when he met up with his wife and daughter. It's not that I had a lack of sympathy for that, but I think it's really important that anybody under community supervision adhere to the conditions of their release. But I will also say, based on Mr. Begoshaitua's totality and the fact that he still has what looks to be about a year and 6 months left of his flat prison sentence, which is quite some time, and some of the positives associated with his case supervision, to include that negative urinalysis, the fact that he was working, and his motivation to serve his family, I'm open to returning him to community supervision, but that's where I'm beginning the discussion, and I certainly look forward to hearing from my peers.
Yes,
Mr. Quinones, I agree with what you say. The thing that is bothering me is just, I just would not want to set him up for failure.
That's a good point.
And I don't know how, it would be very difficult. I mean, it will be very difficult to not have contact with that child.
Before we continue the discussion, I do want to say out loud, because we operate under an open meeting, that I have that exact feeling as well, which is, I said what I meant. I meant what I said. But I have that concern about setting someone up for failure because of the circumstances. And I would hate to see him fall on his face, so to speak, because of what we're asking. But I'm still open to the discussion. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I understand that too, but I think the condition says that he will not have contact with the child without the parent being around and without the prior approval of his parole officer. So I think if he was honest and work with his parole officer, there may be some opportunities for him to see his child. It does not totally present him. It just says in condition A, I will not be alone with or have any form of contact with anyone under the age of 18 without parent or guardian present and without prior authorization from his assigned parole officer. I think had he been honest in the beginning and worked with his parole officer, that he may have had the opportunity to see his wife and his child. So I understand the issue of him not wanting to set him up for failure, but it's his responsibility to make sure he contact his parole officer and maintain that contact and get that prior authorization. He may not be able to do it, but I would assume that at some point his parole officer may allow him to be with his wife and his daughter, but he has to be honest. I don't know how that policy works with them. Maybe Ms. Wittenhouse, Mr. Osborne, you could tell me.
I'll take leave from discussion for just a moment. Mr. Osborne, can you speak
to
that?
Yes, sir. Actually, Diana Bullock is out, but I was emailing her supervisor. He was there, and he gave the directive per his email for no contact. He heard the message. He authorized the arrest. He was not given permission to go anywhere that weekend.
But permission is an option if he works with this parole officer?
No, to go, because he was at a halfway house. He wasn't given permission to go stay the weekend with anyone. And then he said, he blatantly defied the directive. Okay. So I just wanted to note that, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Any further discussion? Okay. I'm going to make a motion and see where it falls. And again, it's certainly not to disrespect the good order of parole, because certainly I heard the last thing that was offered by a community corrections officer, but I'm going to make a motion to return Mr. Begoshaitua to to community supervision under the same conditions with some amendments. I'll go ahead and make them now, and we'll see how the vote falls. But then we'll be placement at the parole officer's discretion. Must enter in successfully complete treatment program, and again, treatment at the parole officer's discretion that that is appropriate for the case. The standard parole officer to start revocation process upon first positive diluted mist, unsuitable for testing and unexcused UA. And of course, the no contact with victim or current charge and or violation of discretion of parole officer, because that's what arrived us here with the parole officer to start revocation process upon first violation. And that is my motion.
Disagree.
Yeah.
Disagree.
Should I get this great? I believe with the vote of 3-1 that carries.
3-2.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said 3-1, but it's
3-2. I'm sorry, pardon me. Thank you for correcting me. With the vote of 3-2, I believe that carries. Again, it's continued under supervision of the same conditions with stated amended conditions. Again, those conditions are placement at the parole officer's discretion. Must enter successfully complete treatment program that offers treatment program at parole officer's discretion. The parole officer to start revocation process upon first positive diluted mist and suitable for testing in an excused UA. No contact with victim with current charge and or violation discretion of parole officer. Parole officer to start revocation process upon first violation. Mr. Bogo Shaitua, do you understand what I just said?
Yes.
We're giving you a chance. The vote was 3-2, so understand there's some concerns here, and I want you to understand that. You have approximately a year and a half to adhere to these conditions. So the challenge is going to be great. Are you up for this?
Yes.
Okay. That being stated, I'm going to bring this hearing to an end. I thank you for appearing before this board. Mr. Board Chairman, is there anything before I end recording?
Yes, the CO3.
Yes.
I think we have one more.
One more.
The person to come.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you meant. So if you could, Mr. Bego Shaitua, please give the phone to your CO3.
Excuse me. So you guys reinstated me again, and thank you guys.
Yes, but the challenge is going to be great, and we don't want to see you again before this board.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, bye.